Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies, buckle up. It's showtime. How may I help you, my brother?
Look, I'm here because I can't stand what's happening in this community.
Yes.
Yeah, and somebody has to make a change.
Yes.
Now, brother, will you help me?
Yes, well.
I wish I could.
Damn it, man, I heard the People's Revolutionary Army was once 1,000 strong. Now, what happened?
They got government jobs.
The brothers walked in with guns, came out with jobs.
The brothers weren't mad anymore. Yes, Whitey is something else.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we are back. Sorry for the hiatus yesterday. It had to happen. I was too tired. There was nothing that I could do about it. It just had to take the day off. I have even worse news. After tomorrow's show, we are not going to be back until the Monday following next Monday after the holiday. We're just going to take a break because of the holiday season, and we haven't taken a break, and I haven't taken one, and I've got plenty of things happening next week, which I will explain during the show. As many of you who have followed my court case, my continuing court case, my four-year ordeal, you know that I'm still fighting this tooth and nail. We'll discuss that, and I'll discuss it within the second hour. We'll wait for JC to jump on board. Mary is probably going to go to sleep. She had a long day. I kind of feel for her because I had a long day myself. It's Reese on the Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. It is 2 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday, Wacky Wednesday, May the 23rd, 2012, just days away from Memorial Day, the unofficial start of summer.
And the pools and the beaches open.
Yeah, exactly.
It's swimming time.
It's hot as Hades outside. I don't know whether or not you can tell, Mayor. See, I got a fan.
Did you?
Look at my arms.
Wow, you're getting black.
Yeah, like, whoa, like, you know.
But you see, that you are.
Yeah, wow. Right? Yeah, that's impressive.
Wow.
Did you see that? Look at the contrast, because, you know, I had the short sleeves on. Look at the contrast.
That's a significant.
Well, that was.
You
I
should
think
probably
I've been,
be putting sunblock on.
I'm totally believing that I should, and I'm probably
because,
going to do that.
Because, you know, black
tomorrow.
People can get skin cancer too. Oh, my God.
Is that bad?
Wow.
It's pretty dark, right?
Oh, my God.
I don't know whether or not I'm impressed or just kind of like.
It looks like somebody, like, kind of
spray
blotted you up with a Sharpie.
It's not that black.
But in place, it looks, I don't know, in places it looks to be that.
Well, that's because, like I said, I was wearing a short sleeve shirt, so this was exposed. And if you look at my head, you can see where the line sort of changes where my face gets
mm-hmm.
dark, because I was wearing the hat today.
So we're announcing on, you know, this, what's today? Wednesday? I don't even know what day of the week it is. How freaking sad is that?
I'm with you there.
So we're announcing on this Wednesday, May 23rd. Reese is becoming a true Negro.
Well, I'm only part Negro. At least for today, I am. Could you get this Negro on the phone, JC?
He probably doesn't want to talk to you after today.
No, we spoke earlier today. He's fine. I actually have to. Ugh, it's a horrible day tomorrow. Nonetheless. So let me get into a couple of things. In fact, see if you can text him and get him on the phone. It's important.
You can't text JC.
Oh, okay. Well, call him and get him on the phone to find out where he is, because he is going to pay me my much due respect today, and he knows that he should be paying me my just due respect today. I've earned it. I've earned it, earned it, earned it. And he should get on the phone. Let's find out whether or not we're calling his number right now. See if he picks up the phone. See if he's probably napping to avoid.
There he goes.
Is that him? Okay,
yeah.
Never mind. All right. See, I don't want him to avoid the onslaught that he's about to receive today. for doubt.
Bring it on, my friend.
Yeah, bring it on, he says. Oh, now you're prepared, right? You are so prepared. By the way, we've got new Trayvon Martin news as well.
I hope it's interesting.
It is pretty interesting. Did you get that audio, by the way, of the Trayvon stuff, JC?
I tried. It didn't come out good at all.
No, that's okay. We'll find it nonetheless. I'll get you the audio, and we'll put that up. But we'll talk about that later on in this hour. Okay. So, as many people remember, if you were listening to Reese on the radio last Friday, okay, you remember that we got into this long, arduous conversation with Kool-Aid Man James Montgomery.
No, we remember that there was a 211 in progress.
Yes, there was.
Well, actually, a 211 had already taken place, and we solved what the cause of the 211 was.
We solved nothing that night with James Montgomery.
Well, he never did get our point.
He never got our point.
But
it was like Bin Laden. We knew who did the crime. We just couldn't get our hands on him.
We couldn't get our hands on him at all. Okay, so if you remember our show Friday, I was talking about the relevance, or lack thereof, of Mark Zuckerberg taking Facebook and making it a public company on NASDAQ and trading it. If you remember, I said this. Now, I'm looking at my Facebook page right now, and I'm looking over to the right, and I see the Ford Fusion, which is a hybrid. That's the ad sitting there. So Ford's got an ad on there. I'm looking at that car, and it's got a little video, and I can watch the video if I want to. Now, scroll down, and what's here? Kaspersky. It's a Pure 2.0 total security for my home PC. All right, scroll over here to the left. Gilt. Shop now. Your fashion favorites at up to 60% off at gilt.com. Scroll down a little more. I got nothing. I got a picture of Bob Hedlund, who's one of the senators up in Boston. Who do I have here? Again? Kathy. She's selling music. Well, she's showing a video. Gordon's over here talking about Iran jails lawyer for helping Christian pastor. Oh, look who's on the bottom here. Join us in Barcelona. It's another ad. Now, other than this, I don't see anything on here to do other than post something about me. Or maybe comment about somebody else who's talking about themselves. You want somebody to actually put stock in that? I'm not going to put stock in people just sitting around conversing about their daily mundane lives, trying to make it exciting.
Well, but they've got pop games. They've got
so what?
People pay to – they purchase credits and coins and stuff and
yes.
Pay to play those games.
Really? What do we call those people in the real world, Mary?
Morons.
Losers.
Morons.
Exactly. We don't make IPOs.
Oh, no,
off
I'm
this
sorry.
Stuff.
We call those people unfreaking employed. A non-taxpayer.
But the point
sending
is
welfare to get tokens to play the jewel.
Okay. You get my point?
Cafe
now,
World.
JC doesn't agree. So I'll let the rest of the guys chime in. Tell me where I'm off here. Why does anything about Facebook, other than the fact that it's a free website for you to go on and yammer about your friend Tiffany, who got a new hairdo and just broke up with her boyfriend? Somebody explain to me why this thing should be an IPO. And that was the show Friday.
Yeah, that was Friday show. But, you know, what I kept saying was, and the part that you guys wasn't understanding, was that your companies like Ford, Duroblock, I see them up there quite a bit, the fireplace, log.
Did you say lugs?
Log.
Oh, I was like, lugs? I ain't seen a pair of lugs in like 15 years.
No. But no.
That's
the urban, you know, lug boots.
Urban shoe company, yeah.
Yeah, lugs. I love
yeah.
lugs.
Okay.
But I'm saying, there are companies like that. I've been seeing Cadillac and Buick.
Yeah, that's all fine and good. But the bottom line is what happened? Now, what's happened so far?
No, I'm talking about how they made the money so far, the money that they've made off of the advertising dollar.
And that's true, because that's what it does. I understand that. It's got, well, from what I found out today, 900 million users.
Yes.
On Facebook. That's fine. Again, that's my whole point, is to do what?
Do you know if each Facebook, if they have 900 million users,
mm-hmm.
and even if each user only gave 50, even only paid 50 cents a month,
mm-hmm.
that's $450 million.
Well, yes, but they don't.
I mean, I wouldn't mind I would pay 50 cents.
And they may have 900 million users, but I can assure you they probably got half that. And people who've lost their passwords.
That's fine. But listen to what it is that I'm saying. What happened to Facebook behind it? Started at $48 or $42, I think it was. Whatever it was in the 40s. It's now down to $31 a share.
It was a bad idea.
No. Not only is it a bad idea. Here's where it gets horrible. Now, I mentioned last week that General Motors, its third largest advertisers at $10 million, pulled out. The reason why they pulled out of advertising from Facebook was because they realized, or Facebook for that matter, realized that more and more users of Facebook are using Facebook on their cell phone. There's no advertising on their cell phone. So the companies aren't making anything on more and more users, using it on their cell phone. They're losing advertising dollars by people who are using their cell phones to do it, because you can't be at a laptop all the time, and they made Facebook convenient for you to use on your cell phone.
Yeah, they made a condensed version.
Yes, exactly. So now, the advertisers are pulling out, and they knew this before it became a public company, a publicly traded company. Facebook knew this, and now what has happened? Now Facebook is not only being investigated. There are not only subpoenas that have been sent to Massachusetts to Morgan Stanley. That's not even the worst. Worst is it just revealed that Mark Zuckerberg has already sold a million of his own shares. That's right. And now it's been reported that NASDAQ, which they're a part of, has already threatened to kick them off of NASDAQ.
How many shares were there to begin with?
Who knows? Only 25% of the public could actually trade. Everybody else, the 75%, were corporate bigwigs. And they were all infusing money. But they all knew that this was a bad buy. So this big deal about it becoming an IPO was fraudulent. And it's losing money, and the stock price is dropping dramatically. And there's no stock. What?
It's plummeting.
It is plummeting. And literally, it's going to look like crap. Very, very soon. Because I saw in the beginning that there's no reason why this thing should have been an IPO. It didn't make sense because I didn't see how this brand could enrich itself in any way or broaden in any way other than giving people new features for free that they could do on their Facebook page. That's it.
Would you pay a dollar every month to have Facebook?
I would dump them.
Really? For a dollar?
I'd go right back to my school.
It
doesn't matter, but MySpace, right now, MySpace would go, hey, if Facebook wants to profit from being an IPO, they've got to be able to sell something, and people would run. They'd run for the hills.
I think people would pay $1.
I think I would.
I'd pay a dollar.
A month?
Yes.
If you have 900 million users and you pay a dollar, each user pays a dollar a month, that's $900 million in revenue on an annual basis alone just from the users.
What about kids?
Their parents would have to pay for it.
Of course, their parents would have to pay for it. But if the parents are paying for it, that means the parents are going to want access to it. And those kids who don't want
to.
Well,
the parents should have access to their kids' Facebook. Your kid shouldn't be on Facebook. First of all, you have to be 18 years old to be on Facebook.
Well, we know that's not the case.
Well, yeah, we know that. We know that there are many, many people out there that ain't 18 years old, and they're on Facebook. We know that.
There are plenty of teenagers on Facebook. The bottom line is that teenagers are not going to pay a dollar to be on Facebook. They don't find it that relevant to pay for. They
I
love
think
the fact
they
that
do.
It's free. No, they don't.
I think they do.
They will go to other places to do it. They'll go to Instagram. They'll go to Tumblr. They'll go to any other site. They'll take their asses right back to MySpace if they have to.
I don't think so. There's something about Facebook that everybody just, like, everybody loves.
Listen, if that were the case, if that were true, that people were willing to do that, then adults would have been overwhelmingly positive about paying for satellite radio. And they weren't, and they're not.
No, but then again, it drove sites like My Life. What's that other one that tried to reunion.com?
But again,
who wanted you to pay $19.95 a month for their services? They got the same service on Facebook.
Facebook has been free this long. For somebody to turn around and feel, they would all feel as though they were duped into Facebook, and now they're being told. Imagine all of these people, 900 million users, all of a sudden one day, They get this word, Facebook is no longer free, it's a dollar a month. First of all, we know.
Well, I don't understand how it's free and they generate any money anyway. But obviously they're generating money. They're generating a massive amount of money if you've made so much money that you can now have an IPO.
They never should have had an IPO.
But they had enough money. They showed enough revenue to be able to be eligible to have an IPO.
What they did was they put the cart before the horse.
Or have an IPO.
They put their cart before the horse, and they should have waited until they were able to launch all those other services that they're planning on launching to make Facebook your gateway to the Internet.
True.
And then went for an IPO.
Exactly. But the bottom line was,
what did you say to make Facebook a way to get into the Internet?
In other words,
use it as an ISP?
No. In other words, Facebook as being sort of your gateway to go to other things. And it was like, you know,
everything you need as far as travel.
Right.
Games. Shopping.
Right. Facebook should have made itself sort of the one-stop shopping for everything you want.
What they should have done was like make, you know, they have all these, Fox 5 is on there, NBC, all these companies.
Right.
They should have made those companies pay subscriptions to that, like companies, because that's what those companies are doing. They're marketing, right?
Right. You're absolutely right.
So they should have restricted major corporations and said, hey, if you want to have a Facebook page because you want to market, you're going to use our service to market.
Right.
You need to pay us.
Absolutely. I agree with you. But they, again, how are they going to do that now?
You see, what they did was they created the number one social networking site on the planet. And what they should have done was, a long time ago, it integrated it with something like, say, Yahoo or even Google.
Yeah, but even
to offer the services that they offer.
But even Google and Yahoo have had their own social network before Facebook came out. I mean, if you remember
back...
Yeah, but
it was just never that popular.
Of course, but if you had a
Yahoo Messenger was very popular.
Right, and Yahoo Groups was very popular.
Years ago.
Yeah, well, Yahoo Groups was very popular back in the early 2000s. It was a very popular social network that you could use. You know, they had all of these
For
groups.
Christ's sake, AOL was popular. And I know people to this day that still, like, you're at work, you got to ask people for their email address, whatever.
Right.
What's your email address? Oh, blah, 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 AOL.com. Really?
Yeah,
really?
I have one.
Like, do you really have an AOL email?
I still have AOL instant message that I use, too.
As a matter of fact, my mother and my aunt and them, they used dial-up through AOL.
Right, that's right.
Until the last, it took me
just
probably.
Just wean them off of it.
It took me probably 5 years. And even after these jokers changed and got went to either wireless or went to, you know, cable, a cable modem or whatever, they were still paying $20 a month to AOL, not understanding that AOL is you're paying Cox Communications as your ISP, your internet service provider. And you're paying AOL to be your internet service provider.
Right.
Oh, but I have AOL Mail, and I don't want to change that. I've had that for 20 years, and I, And I'm like,
you have to understand
do all that.
When folks, especially older folks, when they're real comfortable with something, they like to stick to what they're comfortable with.
This is very true. Now, wait. It's funny that you said that, because that goes right into my narrative about why it would not be a great idea for Facebook to then say, in order to make itself a buck, to then start charging its users. It just wouldn't make sense.
But I think they would pay because they're comfortable there, right?
No.
Because
I think
let's say you have a Facebook and you have, 250 friends. Which those people probably aren't your friends anyway. Five of those people are really your friends.
Right.
But you have 250 people on your page, right? And you're on, 250 people's page. In order for you to, if you have to revert back to MySpace, you got to make all those connections again. You got to send out all that information. It's your time. No, wait a minute.
One-stop shopping. All
wait
that
a minute.
Go ahead.
Your time and that effort, to me, would be it would be worth saving that time and effort would be worth paying $1, four quarters.
Okay,
$10, fair enough. 20 nickels.
But I seriously doubt that it's going to go to $1. I mean, if they're going to charge, $1 would not be in their best interest. I know what you're saying. $1 with all those users would work out to $450 million. Great.
No, 50 cents.
Well, okay, so double that, it would be
$900 million,
of course. So, but if they would do that, I don't believe that people are going to jump on board with that. But again, this is just proving my point. And I think, JC, you said it best. It was the cart before the horse in this idea. They thought it was important. I mean, it was relevant enough in order to do it. But I think what they took was popularity of Facebook and ran with it and said, this is unstoppable. Facebook is bigger than it's ever been. It is what it is. It's greater than anything. We're better than anybody, and it was a poor business move. And I thought it was a horrible business model, as I've said numerous times. And Friday, I think, was a perfect example of that, the way I put it. It just didn't make sense. And it doesn't. It just clearly doesn't make sense. Anyway, when we get back, the Trayvon Martin case, the George Zimmerman case, is back in the news. We have got to get into that. When we return, I'm going to work on getting the audio up so you can hear this story for yourself. I literally was baffled when I heard this story. I don't even know how to take it anymore.
Oh, Lord.
But when you hear it, you'll be stunned.
Are the new Black Panthers involved?
No. They're not. Those fool-ass Negroes are not involved.
The ones that hate white people?
No.
All white people. Children, women.
No. It's witnesses. This is a witness thing. Oh, it's a witness thing. And it's big. It's a big story.
And I'm confused incredibly by it. But we'll talk about it when we get back. Stay. Right where you are.
Stay tuned.
Don't go nowhere.
We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Please, we're not. We'll be 2 and 2. Chuck Woolery. It's Reese on the Radio. Stick around.
It's a love connection.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, VPs met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dan Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken wraps? Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in a tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in a...
The new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. At uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message. If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Ray.
Who do we have on the line?
All right, this is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it.
L-O-V-E-I-T.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
On the radio, and we are back at the bottom of the hour, 30 minutes after the hour, right here on this Wednesday, May the 23rd, 2012. Please stick around for the next hour so I can talk to you about what's taking place next week and the fact that we're taking off for the week after tomorrow. We're going to try to be back Friday of next week. So we're going to take a break for the holiday. So tomorrow will be the last show until next Friday. We're just going to take a break so everybody can enjoy the holiday, get back into mode. It's going to be summertime. It'll be hot. I'll be able to tell you some great things, and we'll get into what's going on in my court case. And I'll explain that to you when we get back at the top of the hour right here on Reese on the Radio. Okay, so this story... the plot always seems to thicken. It is George Zimmerman Trayvon Martin case. As many of you may have witnessed, video of Trayvon Martin has now emerged of him at the 7-Eleven. Now people have seen that he is 6'2". He is thin, but he's 6'2". He does not look like a little boy, as it's often been reported about Trayvon Martin. But the thing that was even scarier in this was a report that came out of NBC News and ABC News about Trayvon. And I want to play that audio so you can get sort of the gist of what it is that I'm talking about. This was... ABC News and NBC News. I'm going to play the NBC News bit because I think that one really, really captures it. Where they got the witness describing what he saw the night Trayvon was killed by George Zimmerman. Here's the witness's own words.
There was a black man with a black hoodie on top of either a white guy, or now that I found out, I think it was an Hispanic guy with a red sweatshirt on the ground, yelling out help. And then, you know, I tried to tell him, you know, get out of here, you know, stop or whatever. And then the one guy on top in the black hoodie was pretty much just throwing down blows on the guy, kind of MMA style.
Ground and pound, okay.
Yeah, like a ground and pound on the concrete at this point. So at this point, I told him I was calling 911. I locked my door, went inside. Heard a pop, never heard a gunshot before, so I didn't know if it was a rock or something like that. We ran upstairs. As soon as I got upstairs, I looked down below, and then I saw the guy in the black hoodie pretty much just laid out on the ground.
So this is the witness who described, this is a witness recording talking to the police officer about what he saw the night that Trayvon Martin was killed. Well, today on America Live with Megyn Kelly, she reported this story or logged this story. And when I saw this today, I didn't exactly know what to make of it.
Kelly's Court is back in session today in a special and early edition. On the docket today, a change of witness accounts and how in the Trayvon Martin shooting case. Four critical witnesses backtracking on what they first told police they saw and heard on the night that George Zimmerman fatally shot the teenager Trayvon Martin. What does this mean for the case? Joining me now... Joey Jackson and Mark Iglarsh, both are former prosecutors, now defense attorneys. Wow. Wow. What,
oh, yeah.
I want to start with you on this, Mark, as the fake lawyer for George Zimmerman in the case. Because let me just tee it up for our viewers. Can't go through all the evidence here, but Trace Gallagher put a nice bit together at the beginning of the show. This is the one guy, one of the key witnesses, who first described the beatdown as Trayvon Martin on top of George Zimmerman beating on him MMA style, mixed martial arts. This is the first way he described it to the police right after it happened. Listen.
And then, you know, I tried to tell him, you know, get out of here, you know,
stop or whatever. And then the one guy on top in the black hoodie was pretty much just throwing down blows on the guy, kind of MMA style.
Ground and pound, okay.
Yeah, like a ground and pound on the concrete at this point.
A month later, not quite, this is how he now describes it.
It looked like, you know, he had been hitting him from on top, but, you know, I can't truly see how close, you know, they were to each other, if he was hitting him or if he was trying to hold him down in that position until the cops got there.
Mark?
Oh, goodness gracious. I think this is wonderful for the defense.
And I'm not even going to go into what the two lawyers said. Mary? Please, just guess, speculate. That's a dramatic change of a story.
It's a huge change of story.
What do you think is the genesis of this? What do you think that could possibly cause this change?
Racial pressure.
Wow. From whom?
From whom? From the radicalists, from our best friends, the radicals. The new Black Panther Party.
You're close. I don't agree with the new Black Panther Party. JC doesn't.
It may have been from whiteies, too.
I agree with you there, but I'm almost certain. I am almost certain that someone threatened this man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It could have been a threat from the new Black Panther Party. It could have been a threat from.
It could have been a threat from anyone.
From the KKK. It could have been threat. It could have been a threat from anybody. Or it could just. It maybe nobody did threaten him. Maybe he just sat back and took a look at everything that happened and said, you know what? I don't know if I really want to be involved in this.
I don't want to be on the wrong side of this.
And I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna take a step back. I don't know how you. I mean, you go from this descriptive story of how this kid. They're on the concrete, you know.
Pounding on him, MMA style.
Pounding on him, MMA style. Then you say, well, I don't really know. Maybe he was just holding him down.
I'm telling you, he doesn't want to be on the wrong side of this story.
Well, and my thing is, where's the police tape? Where's the tape of the conversation? Where's the 911 tape that he called in?
Well, that's, again, it doesn't matter, but see.
No, it does matter.
It doesn't matter because they have that. That's what I'm saying.
But I want to hear it.
Oh, I don't know. I've never heard that 911 call. But you're absolutely right. That's going to play a part in the 911 call. I mean, in the whole case, in the 911 call. Here it is. JC thinks he hates this conspiracy theory. JC, you there? Or is he dealing with something else? You there?
I'm right here.
Okay. Now, JC.
You know what strikes me? And this whole deal.
Go ahead.
This witness. wow. I'm going to feel like Kool-Aid Man in one moment. This witness.
This witness.
Right. This witness states that the guy in the hoodie was pounding him.
Mixed martial arts stuff. Yep.
And then in his second statement, he states that he was pounding what he thought was a white guy but turned out to be George Zimmerman. I wonder if he gave his first statement based on race to begin with. Knowing that Zimmerman wasn't white.
Okay, fair enough. I'm willing to go there with you.
Okay.
I'm willing to go there with you. I'm willing to go there with you on that particular part. Point. But here's the thing that you're missing, JC. And Mary, you're probably going to agree with me more than JC is going to be agreeing with me on this one. Mary, when I said that you were part right on the threat part, like somebody would have come to him and said, hey, you know, you come up there.
Somebody went up to him and said, hey, check it out. Follow me.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he don't want to be the kid of Kalen when this is all done.
No. You're close. That's the thing. The bottom line is that this witness knows that if there are cameras in that courtroom and his testimony gets George Zimmerman off, that his witness testimony comes off, he's a pariah too. And it's not about whether or not he has been threatened. It's about whether or not he will be threatened. he's seen what happened to George Zimmerman. That George Zimmerman had to go into hiding. That George Zimmerman is in fear of his life. That there was a bounty on his head. That there were death threats to his parents.
But on the same token, him switching his testimony only helps Zimmerman.
No. He's switching his testimony so he's no longer a viable witness.
Exactly.
He wants out now.
And he has to be used regardless because he's on a 911 tape.
Right.
He gave a statement that night.
Exactly. And he will do anything to get out of this.
What his name was on that?
No, they haven't. They've only given his first name.
Look at who's here.
Oh, get out. Kool-Aid Man.
Hello.
James Montgomery. Now, I don't know, James, if you were here for this, but, okay, so since James just joined us, and some of you may still have, let's play this audio again. This was a story that was logged on Megyn Kelly on America Live, talking about the George Zimmerman case, and this is the new story coming from one of the key witnesses that we've often talked about here on Reese on the Radio, about the, of course, the case in general. Listen to this story, James, and we'll get your feedback. The question is, what made this happen?
To defend.
Sorry, my bad. We'll start it over.
On the docket today, a change of witness accounts and how in the Trayvon Martin shooting case. Four critical witnesses backtracking on what they first told police they saw and heard on the night that George Zimmerman fatally shot the teenager Trayvon Martin. What does this mean for the case? Joining me now, Joey Jackson and Mark Eiglarsh, both are former prosecutors, now defense attorneys. Wow. Wow. I want to start with you on this, Mark, as the fake lawyer for George Zimmerman in the case. Because let me just tee it up for our viewers. Can't go through all the evidence here, but Trace Gallagher put a nice bit together at the beginning of the show. This is the one guy, one of the key witnesses, who first described the beatdown as Trayvon Martin on top of George Zimmerman beating on him MMA style, mixed martial arts. This is the first way he described it to police right after it happened. Listen.
And then, you know, I tried to tell him, you know, get out of here, you know, stop or whatever. And then the one guy on top in the black hoodie was pretty much just throwing down blows on the guy, kind of MMA style.
Ground and pound, okay.
Yeah, like a ground and pound on the concrete at this point.
A month later, not quite, this is how he now describes it.
It looked like, you know, he had been hitting him from on top, but, you know, I can't truly see how close, you know, they were to each other, if he was hitting him or if he was trying to hold him down in that position until the cops got there.
Mark?
And that's what's now being said. Now, James, this is a witness who says he saw a ground and pound, then he gets into a police station, changes his story entirely, saying, well, I can't really be sure if it was really an MMA ground. That's a dramatic change. He's either ground and pounding him, or he's holding him down until the police gets there.
Now, James, let me ask you a question. Do we have a 211 in progress tonight?
No.
Okay.
I need to bring my handcuffs in bed.
Okay. No.
But you want to bring your handcuffs, babe? That's a whole other show.
Come on. So, James, this is one of the key witnesses. He went from ground and pound.
That earlier today.
Say again?
I heard about that. I was watching the news today, and I heard that not just him, but a couple of the witnesses are now changing their story. So
what does this mean?
It means that, again, there's still more questions. And it means that George Zimmerman's in a lot more trouble now.
Actually, James, no, it doesn't. You know what it means? It means that these witnesses want no parts of what George Zimmerman is going through. They don't want to be the people who are right. They do not want to be the people responsible. Right now, the poll that just came out on the O'Reilly Factor, right? 20,000 people polled. 20,000. They don't do 20,000 people to poll on presidential elections. They do about 6,000 to 7,000. 20,000 people polled on O'Reilly Factor. The poll came out yesterday. He did it for a week. said that 90% of people believe that George Zimmerman will be found not guilty. Only 9% said that he would be found guilty. Right now, if George Zimmerman is found not guilty, the people who will be screaming and hollering will be screaming and hollering at the people who played a part in his sort of innocence finding. And these people who are changing their stories see the magnitude of this, and are saying, I don't want that. I don't want to go into hiding. I don't want death threats. I don't want people talking about killing my family or sending packages to my house or people tweeting my address via Spike Lee or Roseanne Barr. I don't want to go through what it is that George Zimmerman had to go through.
They don't want to go through what Trayvon Martin went through. They ain't not trying to get shot.
Well, I don't believe they're going to be shot, but they are going to be ostracized. They're going to be living in fear, and they don't want to. And they are willing to put themselves out of the mix. Let me change my story. Let me say anything I can so that anything I say is absolutely cannot be used, not only by the defense, but by the prosecution.
But I think it's appalling that if you.
I don't think you can just leap to that conclusion just yet because it's been a month. All right, it's been a month, and especially the guy with the MMA thing. All right, this was after George Zimmerman had received the death threats and things of that nature. All right, so he knew that he was in that position. He still decided he wanted to step forward and go and give an interview. So he placed himself there, knowing this was happening to this other person.
Well, James, hold on, James. I want you to hear what one of the lawyers says immediately after that tape. When she says, Mark, this is Mark on Megyn Kelly. Listen to what he says. And it's when he says it, he's laughing. I laughed when I heard the audio because he's thinking the same thing that I'm thinking. Listen to what he says.
Mark?
Oh, goodness gracious. I think this is wonderful for the defense. Anytime you have witnesses who give a statement at one point, swearing under the penalties of perjury, they're certain, they're trying to be honest, they're trying to be credible, and then later they give a statement that is different than the statement they gave at first, the defense lawyers can have a field day with it. It doesn't matter which one they're going to claim is true and accurate. There's inconsistency. So I would always ask the witness, what, your memory gets better with age, like wine?
Classic. Your memory gets better with age? How is it that your memory gets better as you move further away from the incident?
As I said, I'm not saying that their memory got better, but I really don't know what to say about it. But just to say that they're changing their story now because of fear.
What did George Zimmerman go through? He had a $10,000 bounty on his head. There were people.
Right.
There were people who had killed Zimmerman on Twitter. There were people who were tweeting his home address. Spike Lee and Roseanne Barr, not average wackos. These people are popular entertainers.
Well, we're talking about Roseanne Barr and Spike Lee. Yeah, they are average wackos.
Well, we know they're average wackos, but to the rest of the entertainment world who loves them and respect them, these people are supposed to be credible, okay? So these are the people out there tweeting his home address and threatening to go down to his house, okay? So my bottom line is that you don't want to be a part of the frenzy that happens. Now that you know that polls say that more people believe that he's going to be found not guilty, these witnesses know that their witness testimony is probably going to get him off and that there are going to be people out there who are angered by that and want to take get retribution in one way or another, and their names and their personal lives are going to be disrupted by those maniacs. They'll say anything to get out of this. That is more feasible than anything that would make this guy turn from he saw him grounding and pounding him mixed martial arts style to I couldn't tell whether or not he was trying to hold him down for police. That is a dramatic change. It's 180-like. And you're going to tell me that it doesn't look that way?
I didn't say it didn't look that way. I'm just saying, you know, just jumping to the conclusion, because they did have over, they did have quite a while, and they didn't change their story up until now.
But, James, these people, they're changing their stories further away from the incident. How do you remember it differently further away from the date?
The way I heard it was some are changing their story. Actually, it was like some who didn't believe, some who weren't too clear now are, and then some who were too clear are now not so much.
But, James,
that's the way I heard it was going.
Plenty of time, James. This only means that they've had plenty of time to manipulate. To manipulate that. Okay, by media, perception, influence, all of those things.
Perception and influence, right. But again, now you have to think of, there was like, as I said from what I heard this morning, there was one who said because of what she heard, and she's had time to think about it, and because she's what she's heard of the evidence and everything, now she wants to swing more towards George Zimmerman.
Well, again, it doesn't matter. The point is that your first recollection is the one that I'm going with. Coming back and telling me that you think you remember it differently. For what reason do you think you're remembering it differently? What is played on that? You either remember it one way or you don't. And I'm glad that this particular case happened today, because in the next hour we're going to talk about my trial, which you're hearing is coming up for next week. And I want to bring that up, because this is exactly the part that most people can't seem to fathom. You can't change your story later and expect that to be more believed than your original statement. There's no way.
I totally agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. And, again, now it's going to be, and I just heard JC say that being that the inconsistency helps him. I don't think so. Because
of course it does, James. It means that, listen, if the prosecutor, if this witness becomes, if this, let me put it to you this way. The young man who says, as we heard in the video, who said he saw him ground and pounding him MMA style. The defense has him as a witness, right? He says, we need that guy as a witness. We're going to put him on the witness list. Because the prosecutor says, I can't use him. And then he comes back and he goes, no, I think I saw it differently. Do you think the prosecutor says, now he sees it our way. Let's get him as a witness. No, the prosecutor says, I can't touch this guy. They're going to bring back his first statement. And he's going to look inconsistent, and to a jury, they're going to go, this guy doesn't know what he remembered. We discount him entirely.
Right, and if you discount the witnesses, and again, if you discount the witnesses, because again, this is a case, all right, not on whether he shot Trayvon Martin. This is a case of whether he shot Trayvon Martin in self-defense. The self-defense.
James, the burden of proof. Not
right. The burden of proof right now is on George Zimmerman.
No.
And
James,
George Zimmerman's burden of proof
No, it's not. You've charged him with second degree murder. The burden of proof is on the prosecutor. The prosecutor must prove that he killed him in the second degree. And with a witness who changed their story to then promote their narrative, who can then be discredited by saying this is what you said the first time, that means that they proved up nothing. His credibility is destroyed. George Zimmerman's got nothing to prove. The defense has got nothing to prove. All they have to do is cross-examine the witness. And if the witness gets up and says, I now remember it differently, all they have to say to him is, how do you remember it differently later? And everybody's going to say, as the defense attorney's going to do, you can't remember it better further away from the date. You can't. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible.
Yeah, well, again, now, as I said, it's going to be used to discredit the witnesses. And the witnesses, again, the witnesses were only being called to sort of verify George Zimmerman's standpoint on the case. And now that credibility is shot.
Well,
so it's now more on George Zimmerman. I mean, I think it's either that or it leaves the field open for that defense because, I mean, for the prosecution, because the defense has no leg to stand on now.
The defense has got every leg to stand on now. Hold on for a second.
No, you got
the
witnesses. They're witnesses for the defense, not the prosecution.
The witness is now. First of all, the witness is trying to get out of it. Let's take some calls. 347-308-8701. I forgot my own number. Let's take our friendly neighborhood white boy, Mike, from Florida.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, so, boy, James is awfully fired up this evening.
He is, but...
Well, you know, there was another witness who changed her story. If you're reading the same story I read,
mm-hmm.
Witness number four, who's described as a single mother who lives in the complex.
Right.
Her story initially was, I saw two, I think this is who James is referring to, actually. I saw two mm-hmm. figures fighting in the dark, and all I saw was dark clothes, and I couldn't tell who was who. Then a week later, she's re-interviewed, and she says, oh, well, Zimmerman must have been on top because the larger figure was on top, and everything I've seen in the media says that he was a larger man. But he wasn't a larger man.
Exactly. Trayvon Martin was the larger one. He was 6'2".
Yeah, and George Zimmerman only had 10 pounds on him. He weighed about a buck 70.
And Zimmerman's 5'8".
Yeah. So,
Zimmerman's 5'8" tall. So if she saw a larger man, that means she saw Trayvon on top.
Exactly.
Okay, so you can't dispute 5'8 to 6'2"? Seriously?
Yeah. So basically her changing her story, she may think is in Zimmerman's against Zimmerman, but it's in his favor.
Exactly.
She basically just pointed out that Trayvon Martin was on top of him.
Exactly. And now she's saying what she heard in media, which again totally destroys her credibility because she had influence from a partial media that pretty much all out indicted George Zimmerman in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've heard the narrative from Mr. Crump about the Arizona iced tea that he was supposedly buying.
Yes.
Iced tea and Skittles.
Yes.
Well, you know, it turns out that it's not iced tea he was buying, right?
No.
Okay, I'm going to give you some Southern rap knowledge. You've heard about sipping on scissor up, right?
Are you telling me that he was making scissor?
Well, wait a minute. There's a, you know, they call it lean, right? And you make lean, God, I am the blackest white guy ever. You make lean by mixing promethazine and codeine cough syrup with Sprite, usually. And they'll throw in Jolly Ranchers or Skittles for flavor, right? Well, there's a particular variant of lean called watermelon scissorup. And you either make that with Sprite and watermelon-flavored Jolly Ranchers, or you take a shortcut and mix it with
Skittles,
watermelon juice and Skittles. And if you do some research, you can see a nice Twitter conversation or text messages between Trayvon and his buddy, where Trayvon is saying, hey, do you have a hookup for codeine, and talking about making lean.
Oh, wow. All right, let's take another call before we go to the break. 347-308-8701. Who's this? You're on with Reese on the radio. Hello? Okay, maybe you're there. 614 area code. Hello?
And probably put the phone down.
You probably did.
Because I can hear something in the background.
Yeah, so can I. JC, yeah. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, but I want to know, I mean, okay.
JC, can you find out who that is?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Thanks, buddy. I don't have no idea. I thought he was going to pick up the phone. Anyway, so we'll take a break when we come back. I need to talk about this case. Mike, do you want to stick around for a little while? Because
sure,
absolutely. Thank you, man. I always appreciate you calling in. So we'll take a break. When we come back, I'll give you guys some insight into what happens next week on Wednesday. Very, very important court hearing, and I'll break that down to you. So stick around. We've got plenty more to talk about. Of course, the NAACP is getting some fire, as I predicted, by a very large African-American religious group for supporting gay marriage. We'll get into that when we return. We got plenty more. And, you know, as usual, it's Reese on the Radio. Stick around. We'll be back.
buckle up. It's showtime.
I see some black people looking at me, man. It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on life like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking bitch, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas, bitch. Ted Koppel ain't never took this shit from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, it's Mike Wallace. Run!
And welcome back. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. 1 minute after the hour on this Wacky Wednesday, May the 23rd, 2012. A week. JC?
Hey, what's going on?
It's in the beginning of my monologue.
Oh.
Give me a second. All right, just give me 1 second. I just want to say that it's Wacky Wednesday. A week from today, I'm going to be going back to court. JC, what did you want to mention?
Oh, really nothing. I just wanted to hang out. But
was that a
listener?
That's a listener.
Yeah, that's a listener. That's just our buddy Bingo from Blanchard.
Oh, okay, all right. I tell him to hang out, man. That's
great. Hanging out with us.
Okay, beautiful.
Shout out to Blanchard, by the way.
Definitely. Real Talk Blanchards, we love you, man, and thank you, as always, for checking us out. We get a lot of feedback from you guys, as you get from us being on your show, so we always appreciate you guys coming in and hanging out with us. Okay, so here's the breakdown. A week from today, I will be going back to New York. I have to go to court behind this rape case. And for those of you who are new to the show, who do not know, there was something that I really, really wanted to really express to you to make sure that you knew this. Now, it's hard enough being an African-American conservative and an outspoken African-American conservative. I have a devil-may-care attitude about my approach towards things. I can be vulgar at times, but I don't believe that I'm personally sexist. I'll admit that I probably use a couple of sexist terms here and there. I don't abuse women. I do not believe in abusing women. But that goes without saying. I mean, people who know me know me. I am argumentative. I am tough. I don't mince words. I don't pull punches. But when everyone knew that about me when I got into the radio game, people didn't like it because I fought back. It didn't matter whether or not they attacked me. I didn't just take it on the chin. I fought back. And I took it right to their face. I screamed and I bellowed right back at them. You were not going to just get off on saying anything you wanted about me. So when this young lady came forward in 2004 and accused me of raping her when she was 11 came forward in 2008 and accused me of raping her when she was 11 in 2004. When this young lady came forward and said that, it was literally gangbusters. Let me destroy this guy, is pretty much what the media said. And it goes without saying, when you hear a case like rape, this is what it is that they do. It is immediately believe the accuser and forget about getting any facts, vetting the person who's accusing you, or any of the story that's being told. Everyone knew when that story came out. Mr. Hopkins accused of raping the girl in 2004 in October. Everyone knew I didn't live in New York in October of 2004. Everyone knew I had not lived in New York and I was working out of state since April of that year. I was spending 5 days a week outside of the city living in Hartford or Manchester, Connecticut, for that matter, not too far from our producer on our show, JC. I was literally a mile and a half, probably a mile away from JC's home. JC and I became friends from my tenure at Power 104 in Hartford, Connecticut. The reason why we know each other is because of me living in Manchester, Connecticut. JC knew my then girlfriend and my children. Okay? We spent holidays with them, with JC's family. And we met from living in Hartford, Connecticut, in Manchester, Connecticut. So it could not be denied that I was out of state. But everyone jumped on it. There was no media whatsoever. After I went through the trial in 2011, there has been no media to investigate the fact that 11 people found me not guilty. And that one person in the trial, a juror, refused to deliberate. Refused. Refused to say anything. Refused to even talk to the rest of the jurors as they tried to convince him. They had a decision on the first day. They sent a note on the first day of jury deliberations and said, we are deadlocked. Because they had an 11-1 not guilty. That's the truth. Anyone can look this up. But not one person in the media wanted to report that. It wasn't important. When I was arrested, there were 78 stories about my arrest. 78. It was all about the salacious claims. And one line quoted by me, I wasn't even living in New York then. That's all they had. When the witness got on the stand and changed the story, just so I can make this clear to you, the witness said to police in the police report, raped her, raped my stepdaughter. My stepson was there. She bled all over my bed. That my girlfriend came home, we told her about it, and no one said another word, and then we moved. This is October of 2004. And this was a statement made to the detective, Detective Robert Arbuzo, on April 25th, 2004. They came and arrested me 6 months later in October, almost to the date. Detective Robert Arbuzo had those notes. I read them and was baffled. We then moved later. So to suggest that in October of 2004 that I raped you would suggest that I then moved months later out of state, which would mean that I moved to Connecticut in late 2004, 2005, when the truth was I had already moved out of state in the summer of 2004 and moved back to Fort Lee, New Jersey in January of 2005 to Power 105. The press knew this. All the press had to do was to call Clear Channel Communications or call somebody at the Star and Book Wild Show. That's all they had to do. Every bit of that information would have been cleared up. But they refused to cover that because a conservative African-American black man who had taken them to task, who fought with them, who would not sit down and take it lightly, they had an opportunity to do damage to him. And now that it's all been cleared out, Detective Robert Arbuzo, the detective that my accuser made the first statements to on April 25th, 2008, made those statements to, Detective Arbuzo ends up being a defense witness for me, the only witness, because the witness got on the stand and changed her story. No, not a few details, dramatically. Turn this into a accuser versus detective case. Didn't you tell the detective that you were raped and that you bled all over the bed? No, never said that. Didn't you say that the defendant then raped his stepdaughter? No, I never said that. No, I said that if he did it to me, he could have done it to his daughter. You never told the detective that he did? No, I never did that. Didn't you say that the son came to the door, saw this, and was screaming and crying? I never told the detective that his son was there. I never said he was a witness there. I never said that. Didn't you say that you stayed there until his girlfriend came home and you told her? No. I just went home and I cleaned up and I never told anybody about it. The detective is called to the stand for the defense. He's the only witness. Detective Robert Arbuzo. Didn't she tell you this? Didn't she tell you that? Yes, she told me this. Didn't she? Yes, she told me this. Yes, she told. Yes. in a day, 11 to 1. One guy says, I don't care what it is, that this guy's a scumbag and so is his lawyer. He's guilty. Just refused. Everybody knew. I had to post it on Reese on the Radio. Just go to ReeseOnTheRadio.com and read Anatomy of a False Rape Claim. Read all of it. It's all there in the transcripts. But once the narrative was gone, and they could no longer say, in their minds, yeah, we got this son of a bitch. They just walked away. And just said, screw him. We didn't like him anyway. It didn't matter whether or not I was lied about. It didn't matter that my name and my career was literally going to have to start from negative 100. And I was going to have to work my way all the way back up to zero. It didn't matter. Truth and justice meant nothing to these people. And it never does. Once they've got you in their claws, they've got you, and that's where you'll remain until they just walk away. Now, look, I'll be the last person to say to you, I'm not angry that somebody didn't step up and say, you know what, we need to get this guy's story out. This was wrong what happened to him. Just on being right and exact, as they say in the hood. I would have loved it if somebody had just said that, because that would have made me feel at least that somebody cared. But you know what? There are people who care. There are people who don't. It's obvious. Does it hurt me that there isn't enough out there to people to stand up and just go, you know what? What happened to him is wrong and it needs to be corrected. It would have made me feel better. And it would have made me feel as though I wasn't standing by myself on this in a lot of ways. But I know other people have lives. I know other people have things they have to do with. I know that news is an everyday cycle and events happen. And, you know, so what, Reese? You know, just move on. Let it go. It's difficult to do that, though, folks. It's difficult to do that. Because, see, you can get a TV stolen. Your house can be robbed. But in a lot of ways, my life was taken. It was like watching someone murder me while I was alive to watch it, if you get my meaning. It's like living through your own murder. That's what this is like. And every day I have to remind myself that I'm not dead. I can come back. If I fight hard, if I stand, really, really stand my ground, I can come back from this. But there's only one thing stopping me from doing that, and that's where I wanted to bring this to. A week from today, I have to go back to court to have a hearing. And the hearing is pretty much this. The witness has decided that they no longer wish to testify. So they've hired their own attorney. The witness, the accuser, has hired their own attorney to keep them from meeting with the district attorney's office, the people who wish to charge me with this crime. So Wednesday, we're supposed to have a hearing for them to only bring in the transcript from the first trial and not have the witness on the stand so we can cross-examine her again because she has refused to come forward. I'm not testifying. Now, we know why the witness isn't testifying. I don't have to draw you a map. That witness doesn't have to face me on the witness stand. It's not going to be her word versus mine. It's going to be her word versus a 27-year police veteran who works in the Special Victims Unit, who has done these cases over and over again and has testified in over 500 cases. And my case was the second time he had ever had to testify for the defense. My case, in over 500 cases where he testified, my case was the second time in his career he ever had to testify for the defense. And my accuser does not want to face that. Because the lies were exposed. Now, somebody who accuses you of rape, and they're lying about it, the embarrassment is pretty heavy. I can only assume. Because what you lied about and why you lied, all of that has to be brought up. Then why would you lie about that? Like, why would you lie about that? And the reasons why somebody would lie about that are usually the simplest and dumbest things ever. Something as silly as not passing a biology class. Yeah, really. Getting into an argument with your mother about said biology class. Enough to make you say, he raped me. To get out of trouble. To divert. To deceive. And murder a man's career, his life, his reputation. Murder it. Just so you don't get in trouble about a biology grade. That's how deadly something that stupid can be. Now, I don't know whether or not any of you have ever heard the story, but I just had to tell you about it. That's what I'm going in next week for. So I'm taking a week off. After tomorrow's show, I'm just going to take a week off. You're going to come back next Friday. And we'll be back. And, you know, whatever happens, I don't know how long this, you know, this hearing is going to be. But if we win the hearing, the witness has to come up on the stand and testify. And that's what we're hoping for, is that we prove that this witness can indeed testify, that this witness is capable of testifying, and we get a second shot where we get to break down every lie, every false story ever told. And we get in there and we get my name back in one small semblance, because I know it's small. No one's going to be there. There'll be no reporters. There'll be no people interested in my innocence. This will just be a small victory for me on a personal level. What's happened, happened. That cat's out of the bag. Now I've got to do the work to bring it back. But let me make one thing clear. I've never, ever once looked at this accuser with any sense of malice. I should be angry at this accuser, but I can't. There's a reason why I can't be. And that is, God has a place for people like her. And vengeance is mine, said the Lord. And I believe in God, and I leave it at that. I can be angry and pissed off as much as I can. In the beginning, I thought that the truth was enough to set me free. That's all I cared about. That's all I still care about, is truth. Because there can be no justice without it. That's all I care about. I am not a bitter soul. I'm sensitive. I'm angry. I go through all of that, but I'm not bitter. I have Blog Talk Radio. I have Reese on the Radio. I have guys like Mike from Florida. I have guys like Kool-Aid Man James Montgomery. I have guys like JC the Producer. I've got the guys like the Real Talk Blanchers. I've got people like Mary, why you bugging? I've got Edward in Connecticut. I've got Julie up in Boston. I've got Gene up in Boston. I've got Paul up in Boston. I've got Michelle up in Boston. I've got a lot of people who support me. I've got guys at CNN who've got my back. As quiet as it may be, I am not alone. I know that. I know that there are people out there who believe in me, who want the best for me. So I know I'm not alone. When I get into those points where I get really, really, really down, I always have them to help me prop myself back up. I thank each and every one of you every time you check out Reese on the Radio. When you click on Blog Talk Radio and you come in and you listen to my show, and you listen to what it is that I have to say, my opinion, no matter how out of whack it is, just to give me that is enough for me to keep moving on. And I appreciate it every time that you do it. Thank you all for listening to me and my tirade. I appreciate it. It's something I had to get off my chest. I hope that you wish me luck next week. By the way, we'll be here tomorrow. We'll talk about this and more when we get back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
I
don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
is a boy to do. Good night, everybody.
President Barack Obama named himself one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Reese on the Radio, and we are back 27 minutes after the hour right here on Blog Talk Radio. May the 23rd, 2012. I'm expecting Memorial Day to be great for everybody. They say that everybody's going to be traveling. So it should be, I think everybody's going to be traveling by car. In fact, this is airplane prices have completely skyrocketed, so everybody's going to be driving. The roads will be a mess. I feel for you. I'm not going to be a part of that. I will be grilling. I don't care if I've got to put some firewood out on the ground. Whatever. I'm going to barbecue at my house. I'm going nowhere. A story that I talked about last week and has gotten national attention, apparently not in North Carolina, but it's gotten national attention, is about the young man at a North Rowan High School. Turns out the kid's name is Hunter Rogers. And we played the audio here of the young man to give you a breakdown, unless you, in case you've been living under a rock, was he told his mother and father continuously that his teacher was constantly talking about political rhetoric in her class, and she was one-sided, obviously an Obama supporter. And I ripped this woman apart. And I called her everything under the sun. I even referred to her as this nigga bitch. Yes, I did. And everybody knows I did. And the only reason why I said that was because of the way that this woman spoke. This is a teacher in a high school who spoke, the grammar is enough. But here's a little breakdown of that exchange.
Yeah. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'm suicidal from that.
Hold on, let me move. I want to move on to this thing.
That Mitt Romney. Was that Obama bully?
Was that Obama bullying?
I don't know, but didn't I tell you that we would not be doing degrading
talking about the grave of Babylon. But didn't I tell you we
if you're going to talk wrongly.
No, because there's no comparison. He's running for president. Obama is the president. He is doing the thing that every other president is doing.
It's still the same concept.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
If you're going to talk trash about one side, you got to talk trash about the other.
No, darling. Let me tell you. You got to realize this man is wanting to be what Obama already is. Okay?
This nigga bitch said wanting to be. I can't stop laughing about that. He's wanting to be what the president already is. High school teacher. Now, someone finally found this young boy. This only proves something that I wasn't willing to think in the beginning. Because I didn't want to come out and say it because I wasn't certain. We couldn't tell the race of the little boy. Well, the high school dude. He's not a little boy. He's a high school junior. Well, this was his appearance on Fox. I guess but maybe 2 days ago. If not yesterday morning, he was on there. And I'm probably going to have to go. I'm going to have to wait until this thing. Okay, so let me wait until this commercial thing passes. Because I want to get the audio up for you. But it turns out that this young man is a white child. And the teacher, obviously, was black. Okay, so here's the exchange.
North Carolina high school student's freedom of speech gets squelched when his teacher told him he could be arrested for speaking badly of President Barack Obama. Listen to this.
That people were arrested for saying things bad about Bush?
It doesn't matter, does it?
No, do you realize you're not supposed to slander?
I'm not slandering, I asked the question.
But I'm saying to you, you're not supposed to slander. People were arrested.
Joining me now, Hunter Rogers, the student involved in that taped incident. Also with us is his mother, Gina Rogers. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you.
So Hunter, this episode took place about a week ago at your high school. Why did you decide to tape the conversation? What kind of dialogue had been going on between the class and this particular teacher?
She always has open discussions about, the presidents and candidates. And she doesn't want to hear anything but what she believes. And if you disagree, you get berated and put down, and I just decided to finally get some proof of it.
So one of the topics that was being discussed was whether or not Mitt Romney had been a bully to somebody when he was in high school. And you brought up President Obama's personal experience that's documented in his own book. Is that how it played out?
Mm-hmm.
And what did
you
say?
We asked if President Obama had been a bully in high school, and she told us that she didn't know, not to her knowledge. And then immediately she got defensive and started screaming at me.
So after you got this tape recording, you played it for your mom? And Gina, who did you play it for first?
My dad.
Mm-hmm. And eventually you played it for your mom. Gina, what was your reaction? Because I know initially when you heard this story, you thought, teens exaggerate. They blow things out of proportion a little bit. What was your thought?
I was just shocked that this was happening in the classroom. He had been telling us for quite a while now that this kind of behavior was happening, and we did not disbelieve him, but we just did not realize that it was that extreme.
What is your number one problem with what's on the tape?
Well, first of all, I don't feel the teacher should have started a political discussion if she wasn't willing to hear both sides. And then my biggest concern is that this teacher is responsible for teaching my child and hundreds of others, and she is not teaching them factual information.
Mm-hmm. Hunter, she told you that you would be arrested? What'd you think of that?
Honestly, at the time, I wanted to laugh at her because, you know, I've been taught all my life that nobody can take your opinion or nobody can take your freedom of speech, and she was telling me just that I could be arrested for slander, and I've been told in my life you'd have to threaten the president to get arrested.
Smart kid. Smart kid. He looks like one of those, you know, Pantera rocker types, but smart enough kid to know better. Go ahead, JC. Go ahead, jump
Did
on
Did you
in.
Say he was a high school senior?
High school junior.
And he ran to his mommy with this one.
No. Don't try to play it that way.
Dude, no. You have to.
Don't try to play it that way.
You have to.
He's dealing with an adult who is a teacher, a person of authority, and here's
had
the bottom line.
Had this been a sixth grader, had it been somebody in the fifth, sixth grade, I can see that. This kid's a grown-ass man.
No. Look, I don't want to keep the rest of the guys out. Let me bring the rest of the guys in, and I'll take each and every one of you one at a time. But listen to what you're saying here, JC. He's dealing with a person of authority who is telling him.
I understand. She's wrong. She's wrong. She's wrong in every sense of the word.
Who is he supposed to go to? Is he not supposed to go to anybody and just allow this person to poison the minds of other students?
Well, he should have taken it to another authority figure at school.
But you would have called him a punk then too.
No. He went to mommy with it. Are you kidding me?
No.
He probably stood in the grocery store with his mom. And his mom don't want to give him this and give him that, and he's sitting there screaming at her and calling all kind of names and carrying on,
JC,
as they do.
Yeah, JC, that's harsh.
JC, he went to his father first because he was trying to make a point to his parent that his teacher is indoctrinating students. And he said they weren't sure. The mother even says, listen, it's not that we didn't believe him. We just didn't know how extreme it was. And this was extreme. And I'm telling you, this is the point I want to get into. The reason why she targeted this kid is because he's white. And she said, I keep telling you, slam to the president. She's black, Obama's black, and your little white ass ain't going to be talking about the first black president, you racist. That's black.
No.
That's
that boy probably sleeps on with Confederate flag covers.
Okay, wow.
He's probably got General Lee all over his wall.
Wait. You know what?
I'm just saying in general. No, I'm not calling the kid a racist, but I'm saying from what his parents have probably taught him or what he's probably heard them say around the house.
Let me go to a voice of reason here. James?
I tell you what.
What? I'm cutting you off. James, I'm going to a voice of reason here. James?
It's pretty sad when I am the voice of reason and JC, you're nuts. JC, you're nuts. All right. My thing is, all right, first, okay, how old is this kid now? He's a junior, so he's what, 15, 16?
Yeah, he's probably about 16 years old.
All right. So, okay, now I can understand if they've been bringing up the conversations and he said, well, she had open conversations. You know, about politics, so I don't know who was if they were asking questions or not, then she just tried to shut him down.
Well, see, he did ask a question. He said, didn't Obama, another kid says, was it Obama bully somebody? And he did. In his own book. And then she says, I don't know anything about that. So what are you going to bring up in the discussion when you don't have the facts?
I don't understand. The fact that she's so...
We know she's ignorant. We're not disputing that.
Okay. So the bottom line is you don't believe that because she's black, Obama's black, and this young man is black.
Now that's a pretty strong leap.
You're
reaching.
Now, hold on.
You're reaching.
Because I don't think it's just because the kid was white. Now, if she, it could have been anybody. You know, I shudder to think what she would have done if it was a black kid who said it, because you know, then she'd have been like,
she'd have called him an Uncle Tom.
No, she would have reverted to the old way where we used to be able to beat each other's kids out in the hood when they acted up or disgrace their parents.
This woman is a racist.
How dare you talk about the first black president? I'm going to whoop your ass, and then when you go home, because you embarrass your mama going to whoop your ass.
This woman is a... Mike, come on. Okay, now let me go to a real voice of reason here. Because he normally because he normally agrees with me. Mike,
look,
help
yes.
me out here.
Look, I was a smart white kid going to school in the Deep South, and we had a lot of – I had a lot of black teachers who I'm going to say weren't really qualified. There was a lot of payback, affirmative action stuff going on. So you had people that were borderline illiterate who got to teach. I mean, when I'm in eighth grade and I'm correcting spelling from English teachers, pretty bad, right?
Hey, come on, and,
Mike.
This woman.
You did it for Dan Quayle too. But go on,
Mike.
Do you remember
this woman?
Yeah.
This woman said wanting to be what? Look, hold on. I gotta play it for you again. Hold on.
Listen.
Hold on.
If you're going to trash Romney.
Stop. No. Because there's no comparison. He's running for president. Obama is the president.
And
she is going to respect that every other president is due.
It's still
the
same
concept.
No, sorry. No,
it isn't. Yeah, it is. No, it isn't. If you're going to talk trash about one side, you got to talk trash about the other.
No, Donald. Let me tell you. You got to realize this man is wanting to be what Obama already is.
Come on. He wanted it. And I'm just alerted you on the proper way to talk about my president. This is the black president, and I'm your black teacher, and your long-haired, scruffy-looking white behind.
Who you call him scruffy-looking?
Well, he did look scruffy. Is not going to sit in my class and tell me nothing about my black president.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, you're not going to talk about black Jesus to that woman.
James, how do you not see this as being racially motivated by a black teacher to a white child?
I don't think so.
And he was real. And he was really white too. He was like World of Warcraft white.
Yeah, he was war. Exactly.
That kid did
Worlds of Warcraft white.
That kid had Star Wars teeth.
Right, scruffy was a wrong description. He exactly was World of Warcraft white.
I think we have a perfect analogy of who he is. But, James, you're going to tell me that this was not a black teacher shutting down a white student for, as she put it, slandering the black president? You don't.
I think she put anybody down. Now, I'm just saying, and now it could be, it might not be, you know what, all I'm saying is the fact that she was kept saying, anytime he opened his mouth, she was like, you know, that right there, whether it's black or white, you just don't do that, especially in the classroom. I want to deal with the fact that you're not supposed to be shutting down kids like that, period, especially if you're a teacher, whether you're black or white. So I don't want to even go with the color scheme, all right, because it really doesn't matter.
I didn't like the condescension either. Let me tell you here, sweetheart. Let me tell you here, darling. That condescension.
That's how they talk in the
South. She's in the bathroom and she's talking like she's in the hood and out in the street. You know, you don't do that.
Yeah, she was totally disrespectful. And I don't know if it's a liberal thing, because a lot of lefties are like that, you know, that I know better and you don't, shut up.
Well,
this was just wrong. And I think I'd have peed in her coffee cup, personally.
Here's the thing, though, Mike. Here's the interesting thing. I had a conversation. I had an IM conversation 2 mornings ago with somebody I know who teaches in Charlotte, which is just south of this Salisbury town, just south. And you know what? This is a real conservative part of town.
But not the black folks.
Yeah, she's not conservative.
No, I mean, I thought that was just... And to me, when I found that out, I was like, really?
That whole place down there is redistricted race-wise.
You know,
remember we did that story? I looked it up, too. I was just looking at that the other day. They redistricted the whole damn state corralling all the black folk together.
Well, you're talking
and gerrymander it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Gerrymandering.
Yeah.
Let me
tell you a story about my little hometown, okay? My little town of 12,000 people in south rural Louisiana. Okay, we had, I'm going to say, 7 or 8 schools. You know, you put high school, junior high, elementary school, all the elementary schools together. There was a mandate, basically, from the school board that if one elementary school had a white principal, another one had to have a black principal, no matter what.
Huh.
Qualifications be damned. There was a racial quota. And, you know, that's bogus. You know, they had to have so many teachers who fit a certain racial profile, regardless of qualification. And I had a teacher who tried to teach me algebra who couldn't teach algebra.
Just
okay. I had to learn algebra on my own. This guy was borderline illiterate.
Okay.
James,
all right. Wait a minute. Because now, getting back to your earlier statement, because I was a smart black kid, all right, in Flushing High or in other places. I've had just as many, white teachers that I was smarter than. All right, so it's not just white or black, okay? You have bad teachers.
We're talking
about a black teacher, though.
Could they speak English?
Huh?
Yeah.
Could
they speak English?
Yeah, they
could. I had teachers who spoke like they just came out of the plantation, man. I kid you not. It was like, can I have a translator, please?
I got it.
Hey, do you know that you can get a job translating Ebonics? And you
I heard.
20...
Like for
you,
the,
I remember
for
you
CEO.
Mentioned that
you
on the show.
Serious.
Yeah. Like, I had a neighbor kid who came home one day. He had a kindergarten teacher who was kind of like Monique Black, okay? And this little dude came home.
Fat black
and loud,
right?
He told his mom he could count to 10.
Now.
He could count to 10. And when he got to 4, guess how he said it, people? Just take a guess how he said 4. He said 4, foe. Little white
kid. He said foe.
Yeah,
Mommy and daddy flipped out. I can count 1, 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. Foe and aura. The letter aura comes after Q.
And wait. Mike, did the teacher say washing machine instead of washing machine?
Oh, I'm sure. And she asked questions.
Yeah.
Sure, I had southern teachers that spoke the same way.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Words that don't even have
R's.
My white teachers were all Cajun, so it was a little different.
They had Cajun,
totally different
like our own P?
Well, it's not quite like that. That's a stereotype. They don't talk like that.
Right. So, you know.
So stereotype to black people. Go ahead and say it,
James.
So stereotype to black people.
Don't
be offended. Nobody's being rude.
I'm not being offended.
You know
it's just, you know, there's bad English in black and white. All I'm hearing is, you know, these black teachers that can't speak proper English, but there are white teachers that can't speak proper English either. All right?
Well,
there are just bad teachers.
You're right. There are. I spent a little bit of time in a small town called Athens, Alabama, and I remember I had just started working at this job. And in Athens, there's not many places that you can work in. There's no corporations, though. I mean, I was working at Shoney's, right? So the girl said, the woman Kathy says to me, "Now come on, Mary, I'm gonna learn to you on how to use this cash register." And I looked at her and I said, "You wanna do what? What?"
I'm gonna learn you how to use it.
Learn you how to do it. Yeah.
Hold on.
I'm gonna learn you, darn you.
I want to play this audio clip for you. Mike in Florida is probably the only person who's going to know who this is and what movie this is. He might not. JC might know, too. This is one of my favorite scenes from an old movie. I love this movie, and it totally goes right into that whole Southern thing. Hold on one second.
Mr. Scott, I just now completed my first day in your school. The hair on the back of my neck is standing. Mr. Scott, 7 of my students cannot recite the alphabet. 3 children cannot spell their names. 18 children do not know where Final War in Southeast Asia. 18 children never heard of Asia. One child thinks the earth is flat. 17 others agree. 2 children don't know how old they are. 5 children don't know their birth dates. 4 children can't count to 10. The 4 oldest in the class think the Civil War was fought between the Germans and the Japanese. None of them know who Willie Mays or George Washington or Sidney Poitier is. And one of them's ever been to a movie or stood on top of a hill or ridden on a city bus. Those kids don't know crap.
Remember what I told you about colored children. They are slow. They need the whip. They understand the whip.
I love that movie. Anybody remember? Anybody know that movie?
No.
I'm sure it was shot in either New Orleans or Savannah.
Oh, that is the infamous John Voight in a movie called Conrad.
John Voight.
John Voight. The four oldest kids in the class, they've never ever heard of Sidney Poitier or George Washington. Two of them ain't, most of them ain't never been to a movie. Those kids don't know crap. And I love what she said. You know what I told
he
you?
He said Poitier.
You know, she says, you know what I told you about colored people? I mean, colored children? They need the whip. They understand the whip.
They slow. She said they were slow.
That's my favorite part.
When he'd rather say, just wet up their lips and stick them up against the glass wall.
Hold on.
10 times of 10, the 4 oldest in the class think the Civil War was fought between the Germans and the Japanese. None of them know who Willie Mays or George Washington or Sidney Poitier is. And one of them's ever been to a movie or stood on top of a hill or ridden on a city bus. Those kids don't know crap.
Remember what I told you about colored children. They are slow. They need the whip. They understand the whip.
We're off the old plantation, Mrs. Scott. And I'll be goddamned if you're going to turn me into an overseer.
Listen. the white men come in the face of the Negro.
Everybody you got, I gave you.
I love that movie. I love that clip. If I could just get a clean version of it, I'm going to put that on my
a periodic report.
You're on another phone call, JC. Anyway, I just love that. So I'm just telling you, I believe wholeheartedly from the bottom of my heart that this was a black woman who was attacking that boy because he was white and criticizing the first black president. She wasn't having it. That's the bottom line.
And didn't she use terms like, you're not going to talk like that about my president? Didn't she personalize that?
Well, she personalized a lot of it. She was defensive nonetheless. Everything she said was defensive. I mean, if you want, I'll play a little more. James, have you heard this audio at all?
I heard about it. I haven't heard the actual audio.
I can play a little. Let's play a little more so you can get a little more of a vibe of what this woman said. She's walking up to him now. She's at the front of the class. Now she's walking to his desk, close to where the recording device is.
You will not disrespect the president of the United States in this classroom.
I'll say what I want.
Not about him, you won't.
Who heard it? Come on, let's be serious.
Nobody's going to say nothing to you about it, because you know what? You want to
You need to be in my other class instead of this class.
But wait, wait. She was harassing him. She's like, call your daddy. Go on and call him. Go ahead and call him. I'm going to tell him all the work you ain't been doing. He ain't returned none of my calls. And I called him. Go on and call your daddy. You can tell the school board. I don't care. You ain't going to disrespect my president in this class.
Now, Edward from Connecticut said that that comment about you need to be in one of my other classes, Edward believes that that was her all African-American studies class.
I believe that you believe one thing. Now, but I believe that the other class may have been filled with white kids.
Oh, no.
Like, you don't need to be in this class, maybe predominantly black class,
right.
Talking this
class. That uneducated-ass mammy. She probably the lunch lady. She probably the social studies lady. She probably is the assistant gym coach.
sounds like she needs to be the lunch lady.
No, hold on. I said that
she's running the library.
that would be a library, actually.
A library.
Hold on, it's the library where they bury the lies. That's what they call. That's where they buried that.
That's what caught me. You need to be in my other class. What other class are you? Where in North Carolina is this?
Wait a minute. That's what I'm saying. Edward from Connecticut, when he called in, he said, my first sort of view of that was maybe he belonged in a special education class. But you know what? I'm going to have to give Edward from Connecticut credit on this one because he might be right. She may have said, you need to be in my African-American studies class where there's nothing but black kids in there. And if you talk about bad about the president, they probably would have jumped it.
That's an interesting point. I mean, I don't know. Do they offer African-American studies in high school?
No. Not that I know.
I mean, but I'll bet they probably offer special education in North Carolina. I guarantee you they do. I've been to North Carolina.
But that's why I believe that what Edward said was right. It was like maybe it was an all-African-American class where he would have been completely intimidated into the belief system.
Well, they need English, proper English as a second language. They need that in that system.
I would have said to her, you ought to come to my third period class, and that class is English.
Yeah, all right.
Hold on.
Sounds like she missed her calling, you know, doling out chicken nuggets. She got lunch lady written all over her.
Oh, hold on, let's play some more.
Please be in this place. I'm going to tell you something now about me. As a teacher, I'm not supposed to allow you to disrespect the president of the United States. I'm not.
I didn't disrespect him. I was just asking
questions. You always do.
I have different beliefs.
You can have a different belief, but you will not disrespect him in here.
You won't have a different belief in my class.
Well, no, she's like,
she kind of sounds like you at times, Reese.
Well, she's like, as a teacher, I can't let you disrespect the president in my class.
And what will happen?
Who the hell are you? Are you work for the?
Well,
you work for?
Intolerance.
Your ain't worried about your ass. Your president doesn't even know who you is.
You imagine the Secret Service breaking down her door? We've heard someone's been disrespecting the president. Line them up.
Well, you know, that's the liberal mantra.
You let him do it.
You know?
You're just as bad as he is.
The liberal mantra is intolerance will not be tolerated, right?
Exactly. All right, well,
you will not speak bad about Black Jesus.
That's our show for today. We got to take a break. Mike, of course, as always, thanks for calling in, man. I always love it when you're here. Jamie, Mary, why are you bugging? We will see you tomorrow. Our last show for at least a week. We'll come back. I'll let you guys in on everything that happens next week with the case. And wish me luck. We hope to win the hearing, and we'll talk to you then. Mary, you want to say something?
I just want to wish all of y'all a very good night. And remember, don't disrespect the president of the United States of America.
Goodbye. What the worst. I love you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Peace.